Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you come on board with us each and every day at this time as we face the issues. It's always our delight also, if I might interject this, to have you to call in. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your opinions, your philosophies on the issues as we speak of them each day. This is the reason we have an open line, 831-0917, 831-0917. Dial that telephone number today. It's a very important subject, a very controversial subject, a subject that is meant to heal and not to divide, but a subject that must be dealt with and talked with openly and honestly from a biblical worldview. I believe that it's time we as Christians stop hiding in the closet, be verbal, visible, victorious as God would have us to be, being salt and light in the society in which we're in today. Salt means we come out of the shaker. Light means that we come out from under the bed and out of the closet so that we can be seen and heard as God would have us to be in the society in which we're living in today. And it means taking a biblical worldview, and that means looking at the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful statement. Then he said in John 17, 17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth book from cover to cover, from Genesis 1, 1 through the book of the Revelation. It is the word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, and I am looking at a quote from George Orwell back a number of years ago, quite a few years ago. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I find that to be absolutely true today. You try to speak the truth in a group, and so often you're demeaned, dissed, and your thoughts are discarded, you as the messenger attacked as a result of speaking truth. And especially in the era in which we live, I believe as Christians and as conservatives and patriots, we need to stand on the truth and understand the truth book, the word of God, and allow God's word to speak to us and be the direction for our feet and for what we have that God would want us to do. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I suggest that that's what we need to do as Christians today. Stand on the truth, seek the truth, defend the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we're coming to a point in time in society where we will, as Christians, as conservatives, as central biblicists, as men and women of God, that we're going to have to stand for truth even if the whole world caves in against us, if I could use that term for paraphrasing Jan Hus's statement, defend the truth even to death. May I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching the crumbling of the foundation of our nation, and Christians cannot sit back, sit on our hands, and be oblivious to what is taking place. That's the purpose of this broadcast each day, is to encourage, to challenge, to illumine, and sometimes to cause you to get a little irritated that you want to do something. We might stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as Christians and stop hiding in the closet, I've said so often. You realize in 2016, some 31 million Christians, I believe is the number, didn't even bother to vote. Some 31 million, if I can just do a little parenthetical footnote on that. I was disappointed in a number of our elections, in the voting process in this primary cycle. We had a number of good people that did not make it in this voting cycle. And it's because we have some of the swamp creatures that are in control of the process in the state and on the local level and across our nation that pulls the strings and make the determination on what other swamp creatures they want to bring into their nest, if you will, to control we the people. We need to seriously pray. We need to seek God's face, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land, especially for the general election coming up November the 3rd. We have a lot of territory, even though it's still less than 80 days away. There's a ton of things that still could take place and that is shaping up today. And some of those things we'll be talking about the balance of this week on the broadcast that's on the horizon for this election. We need to be very careful, need to be very prayerful as Christians and asking God to intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They also have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about the landscape lawn care equipment as well as the hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flows. 165-foot flagpole, the gigantic flag flying 24/7. Right at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, across the nation, every time you turn on television and hear a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat speaking, and I've listened to blurbs of their so-called DNC National Convention, which is a joke that's been taking place during the course of this week, and all of the speakers thus far, ALL, how many is ALL? All of the speakers thus far have had something in a castigating, condescending, derogatory fashion about President Donald J. Trump. Not one, ladies and gentlemen, of those speakers for the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, not one have given us any indication, illustration, example, or anything that would be considered a particular position that they'll stand on, any policies they want to change, anything they will institute and inaugurate that will be for the betterment of we the people, the United States of America. Contrarywise, they have pointed their skinny fingers at President Trump. And they have talked about systematic or systemic racism. They've talked about white supremacy, white privilege. And ladies and gentlemen, they have pointed their deceptive fingers at the president and accused him of being a divider, a liar, a racist. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the racial slur that's used as talking points today by the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats that has nothing to do with reality. Now listen very carefully. We're going to talk about today political racism, political racism. And put your thinking cap on, listen carefully and understand, and recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God created one blood, that is the human race, one race, the human race, one blood. And recently I had someone pointing out to me and talking about the rudimentary fundamental foundational divisiveness about race comes out of Charles Darwin and some of the things he had read, some of the things that he had written and remarks he had made about the race. And he was trying to talk about the apes and the baboons over here and the Caucasians over here. And then he dropped in the term race, and it's out of that. And I won't get into the quagmire of the rudimentary fundamental little pieces of discussing that, but at least you can go back and find the roots of that, founding Charles Darwin and his promulgating the term racism. Racism is a relatively new term in society today. There is one skin, one race, the skin color with different pigmentations, but there's only one race of people. It's the human race. Someone says, "You're racist." Yes, it's the human race. I'm of the human race. So if you want to call me that, I'm a racist. I'm out of the human race. But yet we find the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party being the main promulgators of so-called racism today. And they're using the term systemic. In fact, AOC can't even pronounce the word systemic. She tries to call it systematic or systemic or something like that, racism. She doesn't even understand the term. I suggest that AOC go back and get her a dictionary or encyclopedia or do some online research to determine. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, systemic racism or systemic rubbish, end quote. Article dated August the 6th. The systemic racism refrain is a meaningless abstraction, this writer says, until you have meticulously applied research methodology to strategically look at and understand with a common sense what is called racism, systemic or otherwise. It remains nothing but a thought crime, impolite thoughts, spoken, written, or preached, either one. It is simply thought. Thought crimes are nobody's business in a free society. The law already mandates that people of all races be treated equally under its protection of the law. The law, then, is not the problem. Logic is. In particular, the logic error, or the logical error, of reasoning is backwards. Backward reasoning, expounded by mystery author Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, through his famous fictional detective Sherlock Holmes, writes, Dr. Thomas Young applies with reasonable certainty when only one plausible explanation for the evidence exists. Systematic racism is most certainly not the only plausible explanation. The logical error is the central tenet of the preferential treatment, affirmative action, and assorted quotes and set-aside edicts and policies. You hear what he's saying, and it's a pretty lengthy article. I've just read you three brief paragraphs from the article. But he's saying that systemic racism is systemic rubbish. And in reality, when you look at what's happening on a national basis, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming out of the political elitism. It's coming out of the academic mindset and the institutions today. And I have probably 50 to 100 articles on that subject. We'll be looking at just a few of the blurbs from several of those articles simply to vivify for our understanding what is taking place today. And may I simply do a fast forward and tell you that the systemic racism, which is by this particular writer called systemic rubbish, is simply a ploy used by the enemy to tear down and destroy. It is a demonic ploy, a devilish ploy, a satanic ploy to divide us as the human race. And part of the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda is to divide by race and to destroy the nuclear family and to dethrone God. And we'll talk about that further in today's broadcast. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned into Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question or comment. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the attempt by the left, which is a socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. If you don't believe that, listen to Bernie Sanders as late as just the other night when they allowed him to speak 8 minutes. And he said that as soon as Joe Biden goes into office, then they can sit down and implore him to then institutionalize their plan for a progressive agenda as the nation has never seen, to fundamentally change America, systematically change America. And Bernie Sanders has never called himself a Democrat. He is a socialist communist and proud of it. And we're watching his agenda and the Green New Deal agenda of AOC and the destruction of our Bill of Rights and the taking of our right to keep and bear arms and the ceasing and the desisting of the church's right to speak and to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be controlled by the socialist Marxist BLM political party called the Democratic Party. Today, ladies and gentlemen, please realize that these attempts to divide us as a people is the main tenet of the Marxist-Communist cause. In fact, under Marxism, communism, Marxism is a polite term of communism. We're watching the communist agenda. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, some of you are not aware that we have the Communist Party USA that's been flourishing in America for some 100 years. And we have major numbers of those in both parties across the aisles, across America, that's involved in the push for communism in America. But in the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda, it's called cause the people to be in fear. And that's been done through the COVID-19 that's been weaponized to petrify and to bring about hysteria on the part of Americans. And it's been seized upon by the Black Lives Matter, which has nothing to do with tonation of skin, but all to do with the Marxist communist agenda, to cause people to be in fear, to cause the people to be racially divided. And ultimately, the goal is to dethrone God, because after all, anything that's spiritual, anything that's godly, anything that's biblical, and anyone hangs on to that or turns to that, as Barack Hussein Obama talked about us, that we want to cling to God in our Bible, our religion. And he was pointing the skinny, bony finger at we as believers in America today. They want to dethrone God. That's the ultimate goal of socialist, Marxist, communism, because God is absolutely on the throne and God is in control. And a people that are against God or away from God can be controlled by the mindset, the brainwashing of the Communist Party. I have named this the political racism, for we generally do not hear much about it from those other than in election cycle, the election climate, when the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats are screaming as though their hair's on fire, attempting to sway people of color to believe that the other party is out to hurt them, harm them, or to racially demean them in some fashion. I believe I have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
You know, I think I may need to rehab. I've spent a little bit of time in the past couple of days watching this Democrat convention, and I'll tell you what, after a couple of days of that, you do believe you need some mental counseling or care of some rehab, something. Those people have lost their ever loving minds. Now, you know, Sally Yates, you know, former, I guess, Deputy Attorney General, you know, she floored me with her comments the other day about the rule of law. You know, they needed to protect the rule of law. They need to get rid of Donald Trump so they could preserve the rule of law. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you're the one that was in control when these unlawful FISA warrants were issued. You signed off. You said, okay. Now, looking back, you're going, oh, well, maybe some mistakes were made. Mistakes? Criminal activity took place in the Department of Justice and the FBI. And you touting that you are a defender of the rule of law and somehow or another Donald Trump is evil and against the rule of law. My goodness, have you gotten everything reversed? But in listening to some of these folks, the recurring theme, the word that over and over is exactly what you're discussing. Divisive. The idea that the nation is divided now, they want to point at Donald Trump, but tell me how in the world Donald Trump has divided this nation. I watched, sometimes in horror, sometimes in agony, as Barack Obama, for 8 years, divided this country. For 8 years, he put a big target on the backs of law enforcement. And somehow or another, that was not tagged as divisive by the left. And this critical race theory that we are just absolutely permeating society today, you folks inside the church that have embraced this racist cultural Marxism, you have pastors that will take the pulpit and they will spout off right out of Karl Marx's manifesto. They will spout off garbage that doesn't have anything to do with biblical, theological, right perspective. It has everything, again, to do with cultural Marxism. How do we extinguish that from the church? How do we fix that within the church? I mean, Albert Mohler did his best, and those in support of condemning and exposing critical race theory, you know, what was this, a year or two ago at the convention, they were literally, their intentions were reversed, and we had an article come out of the Southern Baptist Convention actually advocating some, at least limited, use of critical race theory within the pulpit classrooms in churches across America. How in the world does this happen? How do we have such loose fix that?
Well, one of the fixes goes back to the fact that we need to get back to the preaching, the teaching, the Word of God, not with social justice, not with the critical race theory, not with the approach that has been taken now by every mainline denomination, including Southern Baptist. And we have reached the low level on the pinnacle, on the scale of the pinnacle, and talking about that. And it's because we've gotten away from the preaching and the teaching with expository preaching, the Word of God. And so it has crept into the pulpits. In fact, as you just alluded to or stated, that is taking place today on a rampant basis, and it's destroying our churches. Just as today, where we find so many pastors are standing with the Black Lives Matter agenda. In fact, Joel Osteen just announced that he was going to march with the George Floyd family in the Black Lives Matter marches there in Houston, and even took a knee with the Black Lives Matter, evidently totally ignorant of or totally non-concerned about the Black Lives Matter and the truth of what it is. And for our listeners that may not know, Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with skin color, skin tonation, whether it be black, brown, or otherwise, has nothing to do with people of color, but all to do with the overthrow of the Constitution of the United States of America. Black Lives Matter is the group started by three women, two of which say that they are proud feminist queers, their words, not mine, and that they are out to destroy the nuclear family. They are to dethrone God. And the major thing, they're being funded. In fact, they've received about $450 million since February this year. $150 million of that came directly from George Soros and his funding, because Soros' goal is to overthrow the United States of America. And what saddens me is to see pastors that will join with Black Lives Matter, hold their hands up, praise them, simply because they may be black pastors, and so they feel, I've got to protect my own race. And then you've got white pastors doing the same, as Joel Osteen, with the philosophy that I've got to bow to and to show that I'm not a, quote, racist, so therefore I'm going to embrace the socialist, Marxist, communist manifesto that's being promulgated by Black Lives Matter. Here's an article, and by the way, I believe this is Greg. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg has the weather up in the mountains of Tennessee today.
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. I'm pretty sure I can see that those streets of gold from right here. So I feel sorry for you folks down there in that flat land of Florida, but I'm enjoying it here in the mountains of beautiful East Tennessee.
Well, I am thankful for you and for your insight. Greg, I'm looking at an article for the benefit of our listeners. This article says, The Progressive Racism of the Ivy League Schools. And it's a pretty lengthy article, and I've got several on that with what's happening in our Ivy League schools. This particular one says, if the definition of racism is deliberate discrimination based on race, color, or national origin, Yale University appears to be the textbook case of systemic racism. And so the Department of Justice contends. Last week, Assistant Attorney General Eric DeBan charged Yale discriminates based on race. In its undergraduate admission process, and race is the determinative factor in hundreds of admission decisions each year. Asian Americans and white Americans have 1/10 to 1/4 of the likelihood of admission, as African American applicants are comparable academic credentials. And it goes on to talk about how they selectively, based on skin color, based on race, skin tonation, as I call it, make the determination of who they're going to accept. And yet these same elitists are pointing their finger at Donald Trump and calling him a racist. But we have a major, major problem. In fact, one called it academic brainwashing. In fact, it's Walter Williams. Here's an article that says, back to academic brainwashing. Parents, legislators, taxpayers, and others footing the bill for college education might be interested in just what is in store for the upcoming academic year. Since many college classes will be online, there's a chance to witness professors indoctrinating their students in real time. So there's a chance that the college faculty might change their behavior. To see recent examples of campus nonsense and indoctrination, visit the Campus Reform and College Fix websites. And he goes on talking about what these universities are doing with their academic brainwashing about race and racism and white supremacy, as they're calling it, and courses being developed around it. He names some of these colleges and universities. American University history professor wrote a book calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment. Rutgers University professor said, watching the Iowa caucus is sickening display of what represents white supremacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, Greg, the thing is that we have all of these elitist academians and other political elitists that are pointing their finger at President Donald Trump and calling him a racist. It is simply what I call political racism, if you would give it a term that I have tried to coin for it. And it has nothing to do with the skin color, but it has all to do with a political agenda. Speak to that.
I think think of the covert racism that's taking place in the midst of that. And, of course, there's the racial element, a racial bias against folks who happen to be white or of lighter brown skin, as a very good friend of mine in Chattanooga often says. He says, we're all brown people. We all have color. There's no such thing as not having color. But in any case, it is racist in one element against a person white. On the other hand, it's a covert racism against individuals that this society considers of color, black and brown folks, because it's saying that you can do it without us. We have to skew the rules. We have to lift you up because you can do it yourself. You're too weak. You're too frail. You're too intellectually challenged. That's what they're saying. The left, when the left puts these biases into policies, they are telling you you can't do it without. I mean, it's a covert racism that to make every black and brown very upset that this notion. And of course, it just took place. It just took place at a national level. The vice presidential nominee, Kamala, however you pronounce her name, I don't want to be tagged as, oh, you were insensitive because you didn't pronounce me. And we'll just say Miss Harris, okay? This Jamaican Indian, now woman of color, black woman, as she described herself recently. What did Joe Biden say? He was going to pick a female woman of color to be his. He just said, I'm going to bypass the standards of, I'm going to pick the very best person for the United States of America to serve in the vice presidential standby for the White House, the standby for the presidency of the United States. I'm going to pick the very best person that I can, the very best person for America. He didn't say that. He said, no, I'm going to pick a black woman. What does it say? What does that say? Is that not bias? Is that not a covert racism or overt racism? Because he said to everyone else, you're not qualified.
Yes, you're and Greg, qualified. If I could jump right in with We've got about 45 seconds before the top of the hour break for the news, but let me tug this in. What the world has not been told and what the nation is not familiar with, that Joe Biden just selected the epitome of racist, because if we need to take down some of these statues because of their background history, if some of them they've taken down happened to own slaves or were considered racist, here's an article that says, slaveholder descendant Kamala Harris alienates black voters. Folks, there's no denying this. Her family were big slave owners, 5 slave plantations, 200 slaves. The family wealth was created by virtue of these 5 plantations. For the Democrats are out there ripping down all these founders, the owner that owned slaves, and now the Oval Office will have one that's from a slave-owning family. We'll talk about that right after the top of the hour break. Greg, hang in there. Don't leave. We need to continue this dialogue because our listeners need to understand what's taking place and what it is. What is the origin of this, which is trying to destroy by divisiveness the United States of America and destroy President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after 1 minute top of the hour break with the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.